Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Amen. If you want your Bible, turn to Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 6. And I'm going to preach a topical message tonight. And this really coincides with Sunday's message. And I had a few people approach me about God's will. And we talked about the crossword puzzle Sunday, how the will of God is kind of filled in for us a lot from the Scripture. And this is a lesson we've taught a few times. It's not original with me. I always try to give due credit, you know. But knowing the will of God, how do we know the will of God? Judges chapter 6, and we'll get back next Wednesday night, Lord willing, to our different attitudes, and I've enjoyed preaching those as well, attitudes. Judges chapter 6, verse 36. Familiar story, and I don't want to belabor and go through the entire story, but it speaks of Gideon here and God's call upon Gideon's life, and that the children of Israel were in oppression to Midian, and God rose up, raised a man named Gideon. And I love there, and I said I wasn't going to tell the whole story, but I think a little background, where in verse 15 it says, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I serve Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And Gideon didn't think very highly of himself. But God called him a man of valor. And so we'll cover that here in a moment. But so Gideon here is faced with a decision and as to the will of God. And so he puts out a fleece. In verse 36, it says, And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece and a bowl full of water. Verse 39, And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger, I like how he approaches him, how he approaches God, and let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Let's pray. God, we do thank you tonight that you have given us a roadmap of knowing your will. And God, we pray tonight we'd make it very clear. Well, thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is the director of our lives. Let's rephrase it. The Lord should be the director of our lives. The Lord is the director of our jobs. I'm glad God's allowed me to be part of this ministry. And all of us have jobs, if you would. The Lord is director of our family, should be, and guide of our family. The Lord is the director of our church, and we seek His direction and His guidance. The will of God for most people is, or at least in their thinking, is clouded. It's cloudy. And maybe with a lot of mystery, and a lot of individuals think, well, knowing the will of God is kind of rare. It's not something you always can get a handle on. And it's kind of like, well, if I want to know the will of God, I just put a blindfold on and, you know, get a map out and, you know, throw a dart, and wherever it lands, that's the will of God for my life. I remember when we used to go to church camp as kids and teenagers, and I get under such conviction, and I want to do God's will, and I'd take my Bible, you know, into the dorm, and I'd start praying. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, and I'd open my Bible and then start reading. Never done that before? Yeah, sure we have. A lot of us have anyway. But how do we find God's will? I love that old song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And I think that's the desire of most Christians, that God have His will and His way in us. He says, Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, being patient. I love that song, Take my life and let it be. Wholly consecrated, Lord, to thee. I want to be in the will of God. Don't you? I mean, I think all Christians would desire that. I want to be in God's will. And I had a big discussion with Eddie Johnson years ago, especially when we were starting the church and doing other things, and about God's will. And I'll never forget Brother Johnson saying to me, this is our home pastor, my pastor, and He said, well, you know, God has a perfect will. There is no doubt. But God also has a permissive will. And I'm glad that, you know, if we get out of God's will, now I'm not talking about, permissive will doesn't mean you're in, that, we're not talking about sin. That's a whole different ball game. But God allows us as we stray sometimes to be within the permissive will of God where He doesn't judge us. But I don't want to be in the permissive will either. I want to be in the perfect will of God. I certainly don't want to be out of His will, but I want to be in His perfect will. All of us need guidance from God. All of us need divine guidance. And how do we receive that? Well, as we said Sunday morning, all of us seek guidance and want the general will of God. Here's how it goes. Guidance already given by God to all. In other words, there's general guidance. There is a framework of that God has already given guidance to the general population, if you will, of all Christians. And so the will of God to all people. And this is revealed clearly in the Word of God. I hope you'll stay with me. I'm mumbling here a little bit. But the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when it comes to salvation, God has clearly revealed His will. And that is, all should be saved. Everybody see where I'm going? So it's God clearly gives His will to the general population, and that is everyone should be saved. Everyone must be saved in order to have eternal life. And that would be the will of God for every life. Amen. God is not willing that any should perish. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. God desires, God, in fact, Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. So the will of God would be that you get saved. Oh, but you say, well, that's for a certain people. That's for that elect. No, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's any and all, not the elect and a few. Yeah. Now you say, well, few are called, many are chosen. I know all the verses. I'll give you 500 verses on the whosoever will side, and you can give me about 3 on the Calvinist side, and we can go to war anytime you want. I don't argue with people anymore about it. But God has and God wants everyone to be saved. Amen? Amen. Number 2, there's a general understanding, God's divine will is that all should be baptized. Everyone should be baptized. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So God's desire, God's will is that all should be baptized. In Matthew chapter 20, I mean, nearly all of us know the verses in which we are challenged, we are commanded to be baptized. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 3, there in about verse 20, he says that those who do not get baptized, that their conscience will bother them. And there's some of you in this room that I have baptized who had been saved a few years, and you said to me personally, my conscience bothered me. It bothered me that I was not baptized. And that means you're saved, and the Holy Spirit's going, you need to obey God and get baptized. I mean, really baptized by immersion. And so that is the will of God, that we be baptized. So again, everybody kind of see where we're going? There's a general will of God. Number 3, church membership. It is the will of God that you be a member of a church, of a local New Testament church. It's the will of God that you attend church. It's the will of God that you attend church faithfully. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I'm glad you're here. I commend you for being here on a Wednesday night. It's tough. Wednesdays now, I'm teaching at Norris on Wednesday morning. So this morning I taught for 2.5 hours. And then Brother Wiggins signed me up to preach chapel this morning. And I got to preach for about 45 minutes. And I enjoyed every bit of it. I am not in any way saying that it was hard. I enjoyed it. I enjoy that part of the ministry. I enjoy it. Not that I don't enjoy all the other parts too, so send the emails, it'll be all right. I enjoy that part, but then getting up and preaching tonight. Brother Wiggins has been putting about 10 hours in a day because he's teaching out there and then teaching the football. You know, and then some of you came straight here, you know, not having eaten. I commend you. But you're just obeying God. Amen. You're wanting to stay in the will of God. You want to please God. And so, and you're not sick, or if you're sick, you're still here. I'm glad I feel better. I really do feel a lot better tonight. And so Hebrews chapter 10, you know the verse, most of you do. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. And we need to be faithful to church. That is the will of God for our life. And it's the will of God for our life that we attend church more, not less. And I want to just go ahead and put a plug in for what I was trying to say Sunday as well. See, churches shouldn't be meeting less. Churches should be meeting more as we see the day approaching. And churches have given up on Sunday night and Wednesday night services because it is tough. It's hard sometimes to get up and promote and say, hey, you know, you need to be here on Wednesday night. Some of you are working right up to the point. The Bible says that we should meet more, not less. The Bible does. Not me. The Bible does. All right? Number four, talking about the general will of God. It is the will of God that you give, that we give, back to the Lord what He's given us. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. It is biblical. It is the will of God that we give of our tithe on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. It's one of the reasons why we know the New Testament teaches us that we meet on Sunday and not Saturday. We come to give our offerings, to worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. Malachi says, chapter 4, will a man rob God? You say you haven't robbed me, but yet you've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. And so we ought to be givers. That is the will of God. It's the will of God that we learn the Bible. It's the will of God that we read the Bible. As newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And I could quote many other scriptures that speak about us reading the Bible and praying and have that personal walk with the Lord. That is the will of God for our life. Help me out. The will of God for our life is that we read our Bible and pray. Have a personal walk with Him. He desires that, and that is the will of God. So if we're not doing that, then we're out of the will of God. Would you agree with the statement? Right? And so from time to time, we all stray, the pastor included, and we all have to say, hey, I'm not reading my Bible as I should. I'm not having my personal prayer time as I should. And man, refocus and recommit and regroup and get back to it. And so I want to stay in God's will. Number six, in the general will of God, if you would, is separation. The Bible says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Love not the world. Y'all know the verses. Love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we could quote several others. Listen, we ought to live separated life. It is the will of God that we live a life that's following in Jesus' steps. So if we are not following in His steps, if we're not living a life that pleases Him, not to gain His favor, man, I'm really going to start using the terminology correct, because I think over the years I've used various terminologies, so I'm going to stick with the right terminology. We do not do things for God. We do not serve God to gain His favor. But we do serve God and receive blessings from it. Or He can withhold it. We don't gain His love. We don't gain His favor. But listen, there are you reap what you sow. Amen. So there are repercussions from not living a separated life. So as Christians, to stay in God's will, we should live a separated life. And when we get out of that, we're out of God's will. And listen, I understand there's various preferences within that. And we're not talking about those. But there are things that we should not do. There are things we should do to live a separate life, to stay within God's will. And the number one thing, to summarize it all, is just follow Jesus. Follow in His steps. I know the saying's popular, but it is biblical. What would Jesus do? By the way, it wasn't some song that popularized that. Man, In His Steps, that the old book written in the late 1800s. And Sheldon Smith, I believe, was the name. Sheldon? Yeah, the last name is Sheldon. It's a great book. And he's the one that coined that phrase. What would Jesus do? He was a preacher, a pastor, and a great writer. By the way, he did not copyright that book. And it became the second most popular book besides the Bible. Bible's number one. Pilgrim's Progress is number two. And In His Steps is number three. The man would have been a millionaire had he copyrighted it, but he did not do so on purpose. I love that about it. I love that about that book. It's a good book to read. Separation. Last one I have on my list, and listen, we could make a longer list than this. Here are some of the general guidelines, if you would, of staying within God's will. And it's testimony. It's being a soul winner. God's will for our life is that we tell others of Jesus. Amen. That's God's will for our life. Now, it doesn't mean that you know, some of you are shy and you may never knock a door. You may never, go cold turkey and talk to somebody you don't know. But you can leave a track. Everyone can leave a track. You don't even have to look somebody in the eyeball. You can leave it on a table for a waitress or a waiter. We can all have a part in telling others. We can be a testimony to our aunts and uncles and cousins. But to be within the will of God, we should be a witness. And I'm so encouraged by our church and how I continue to hear so much about people witnessing and being a part. Not just on Tuesday nights and Saturdays, but every day of the week. That is God's will for our life. To be a witness. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye. Go. We are to go. We are to go. So, speaking of God's general will for our life, and here's just seven things. You could probably add two or three more to the list. If we're not doing these things, then we are out of God's will. So our drive as a Christian is to stay within God's will and to do as the Lord has asked us to do. Again, not because we have to, because we love Jesus. And we want to stay within His will. And we want to get under the spout where the blessings come out. You know, if I wanted to receive blessings from my earthly dad, I certainly wanted to be in good standing with him. You know, I wanted to be, you know what I'm saying. I wanted my dad to be pleased with me. I want to do what he says for me to do and so forth. All right, secondly, we ought to surrender to that will. In other words, we ought to have a surrendered will to God. One condition for knowing His personal will is first to submit to His general will. So if we are trying to find God's will for our life, not just the general will, but the personal will. For instance, Lord, do you want me to sell my house and move? Lord, do you want me to take this job? Whatever it is, something personal in your own life, and whatever that may be, then we must first submit to the general will of God, the things I've just listed. I love this statement. God will not reveal His special will until there is submission to His general will. So keep within the God's will, keep within His general will, and then He can reveal to you His personal will. And so how do we do that? We must present ourselves to Him. Y'all know the verse, but let's turn there. Romans chapter 12. Most of you can quote it, or at least us who grew up in church. Romans chapter, that's somewhere in the New Testament. Just keep looking. By the way, I just want you guys to know my preaching Bible is about to wear out. So I'm really, really, really going to be in a bind. So I bought a new Bible that I think I'm going to begin to transfer to. But once that happens, it's going to be all downhill for a while. Because I've been using this for my preaching Bible for 15 years. I think it's got maybe another 6 months in it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what? Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. If we are to know God's personal will, we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. The daily giving of one's life to God and getting up in the morning and say, Lord, help me to live in the spirit and not the flesh. Lord, help me to live in light of eternity. God, I want to live for you today. And surrender your life to Him on a daily basis. The Bible says, take up thy cross daily and follow me. We ought to surrender daily to Him. Holy and acceptable. In other words, in the condition in which God can use us. Staying within that general will of God in order to be acceptable to Him, available to God for His use. It's kind of like keeping the pipes clean. This afternoon I had a bunch of teenagers over at my house, as well as some college individuals. And so we have several showers, but one of them has been stopped up for a while. I just found out, like, you know how that is with a kid? There's something stopped up, but they don't ever tell you. So, like, it's been stopped up for probably, I don't know, no telling. I didn't notice it until I started seeing water out in the garage. I'm like, really? You couldn't tell Dad, hey, the... And so all these kids are at my house this afternoon, so I went into the plunger and started getting at it. And sure enough, it didn't take a whole lot, and there it went. I mean, all he had to do was tell me it was stopped up. And so got to keep the pipes clean in order for the water to drain through. And for God to use us in the manner in which he would want to use us, you got to keep the pipes clean. And we do that by staying within the general will of God, surrendering our life to him daily. It's not complicated. This is stuff most of us have known most of our Christian life. It's not that complicated, but it's so hard to do. Really, it is. Because we're selfish. I mean, it's just, we're selfish by nature. And so we got to keep that pipe clean so that God can work in us and through us and put ourselves in a position where he can make us spiritual. We don't make ourselves spiritual, by the way. You can read your Bible, you can pray every day, and you can still be a Pharisee or a Sadducee. Because we don't do things to make ourselves spiritual. We do things to put ourselves in a position where God can make us spiritual. Right? We don't fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. It's God who fills us with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So as we surrender our life to him and are not conformed, but we are transformed by the renewing of the mind, we're not influenced by the world, but we're informed by the Word of God, and we're abiding in the Word of God, abiding in the Lord. And he says that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And as you put yourself within that general will, as you surrender daily to his will, God will enable you. He will show you. He will reveal to you his perfect will. To know his will, we must first be willing to do his will. And that's why we've kind of changed the way I've asked you to pray on Sunday morning. Lord, speak to my heart. If you pray that, he will. But don't just speak to my heart, Lord. I yield to whatever you ask me to do. We need to yield to him. Surrender our lives to him unconditionally. That old hymn that we sing a lot of times at the invitation, I surrender all, should mean something in our hearts. Lord, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. And I want to surrender all to him. God does not reveal his will for us to decide if we like it or not. We are to do it. So we're to surrender to his will, whether we like that will or not. Jonah did not like the will of God for his life. Y'all awake? Jonah didn't like the will of God for his life, so he decided to go another direction. And look where it got him. I do not want to be out of the will of God. Gideon was approached by God, by the angel of the Lord, a theophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ himself. And he said, yo ho, thou mighty man of valor, you will deliver Israel. And Gideon's like, me? Who, me? Not only is my family poor in Israel, but I'm the youngest son in our family. I'm the lowly one. I'm the one that's, you know, I get all the chores nobody else wants to do. I'm the glorified gopher. I mean, I'm the Home Depot guy. You know, I'm just, he, that was his position. And yet God said to him, you will deliver Israel. I'm going to use you. And God did in a mighty, mighty way. So when God reveals to us his will, we need to be willing to do whatever he asks us to do. Whatever door he opens, we should be willing to walk through it. So as we think about the general will of God, we think about the general will of God and the personal will of God, and then we think about our surrendering so that we can experience the personal will of God, then we do think about that special will of God. In other words, we must submit first to the general will of God and then surrender to whatever God asks us to do, conforming to his will. And then how does God lead us to that personal will? He leads us, number one, God leads us through his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. These are the same verses I used Sunday. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In other words, God will never lead contrary to his word. So we don't have to pray about the general will of God. God does not lead contrary to His Word. Right? He's just not going to lead us. I said Sunday, God is not going to lead contrary to His Word. In other words, He's not going to show up in some kind of vision and tell you verbally exactly what to do. That would be contrary to His Word. Because He says He doesn't speak that way anymore. In the Old Testament, He spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. Through the Word of God. Through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. So God is not going to reveal His will contrary to His Word. It is important to know what is not God's will in the process of discerning what is His will. In other words, we don't have to pray, Lord, is it okay for me to get an abortion? You know, we know abortion's a sin. We know abortion's wrong. It's contrary to God's Word. So it would never be in God's will to do something contrary to His Word. Amen? So, understanding that. It would never be God's will for you to move to an area of the country where there's not a local church to attend. That would not be in God's will. You know, if some company decides that you can move to Timbuktu and there's not a good local church there, then you shouldn't move. One of the very first things church members come to me and say, I think the Lord's moved me. I said, well, have you checked to see if there's any churches in that area? And let me rephrase that. Have you checked to see if there's any good churches in that area? You know, and so God's not going to move. In other words, God's never going to lead contrary to His will. And so it's important to understand that God is not going to do anything in that process against His own Word. God leads through the Spirit. Again, that still small voice. Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, God is going to confirm it by way of peace. So if you don't have peace, wait. If God doesn't confirm it through a peace in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit, by the way, then don't do it. There should be a peace. And until you receive that peace, don't go. Acts 13, 1 through 4 speaks of the clear leading of the Holy Spirit. And that clear leading can be confirmed. Let's go read that. Acts 13. Acts 13, look at verse 1. I got there already. I'm going to read it. Now there were the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and what? Prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them out. Now, this is speaking of preachers, the laying on hands of a pastor. That's not applicable to everybody. But the praying and fasting is. If there is a decision to be made and you're not receiving peace about it, then you should consider fasting if you're physically able to. I've done this several times in my life. When there's a decision I didn't get peace about, I prayed and fasted for a few days. Lord, help me. Help me to know exactly what to do in this situation. And He will reveal it. God leads by way of His Holy Spirit. God confirms it through fasting and prayer. And then also confirmed by the church. In other words, as you think about, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And if you're going to make a big decision, after you go to God with it, after you're in the general will of God and you're making sure your life's where it should be, then you should go to friends. You should go seek counsel from someone who you believe is spiritual and take the opportunity to seek wise counsel after you seek God's counsel. The voice of heaven should not go against common sense. In other words, if a voice in your head says for you to jump off a cliff, don't do it. That's not God. So, you know, the will of God is not going to go against common sense. Amen? All right, I want to make sure everybody heard that. The will of God is not going to go against common sense. There's a lot of crazy things going on in the world today. The will of God is not something done hurriedly. I don't know how many times I've seen people, and I've tried in my own life to never do this, and maybe on a couple occasions I have, but most of the time I haven't. I've tried to do well, and that's buying a car. Or something that's a big ticket item. Take your time. Be patient. There's things called cars.com. Do your research. Pray hard. Take time. Don't buy the car that you go in the first time to look at. The salesman says, well, if you'll do it tonight, I'll give you. They're liars. And a lot of them are cheats, so be careful. And they have a reputation for a reason. If they won't give you the deal the next day, then you don't need to buy the car. Walk away. Say, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. I don't know why I did that. But just be careful. Don't allow yourself to be sucked into some of those things. In other words, take the time. Take what offer you've been given, whether it's a house or some other item that you're not sure whether that's God's will, and take it home and pray and give it some thought before you do something. And then all of a sudden you find yourself having done something you regret. Take your time. Don't be in a hurry. Be assured that there should be a quietness and a calmness and a deep, unhurried assurance. That's the marks of guidance. That's the mark of guidance. God leads through circumstances. Circumstances cannot always be trusted, but God does lead through circumstances. Again, the Bible makes it clear God does not reveal himself through dreams anymore. In the New Testament, God is not going to give you a dream and reveal his purpose for your life and the will of God for your life. It's not biblically going to happen. But there are circumstances that happen within our life that can help us to arrive to a decision. And usually we use the word door, open, or shut. And I do believe in that. I do believe that God can open a door, that God will open a door. If he wants you in a certain given situation, he'll open a door. So many times, though, we find the door shut, then we try to force our way through it. Well, preacher, I still don't know. I didn't have peace. Well, but if you don't have peace, don't shove your way through the door. Let it open on its own. So circumstances can help us to come to a conclusion as to God's will. But be careful, because you can't always trust circumstances. You say, well, how do I know? That calmness, the peace that God gives. Because the devil can also do some things. He's powerful as well. And you may think, well, God, man, God's opened this door. Well, first off, did it go against the general will of God? Amen. Are you yielded to God's will? Are you within the daily walk of God? And then pray and fast and seek God's face. And then is the door still open? We need to be careful in these areas. When we're looking for God's special will in our lives, we must line up all three. His word. Does it line up with the word? God's never going to go contrary to his word. His spirit. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many times I know. You know that song, I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always. How do I know he lives? He walks with me and talks with me. I know he lives because I've experienced, as a Christian now for over 30 years, I've experienced his guidance. I'm not saying I know, I'm not perfect at it. I still have to make sure that I'm in the general will and that I am doing what God's asked me to do, that I'm surrendered. But certainly I have been a part of his perfect will. It feels so good to be in his perfect will. I believe my life today that I'm in the perfect will of God. That I'm the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, and that's God's will for my life. I don't know how many times in the last 15 years, especially in the early stages of building this building, that there might have been some second guesses. And I'll tell you, she's not in here. But my wife probably is as responsible for me being in the perfect will of God today as anyone else. Don't forget your spouse when you're trying to discern God's will for your life. If your wife says, I don't believe that's God's will, then don't do it. Wait, and if it's God's will, God will change your mind. Or God will change his mind. I promise you today that I believe today I am in the perfect will of God, primarily, of course, because of God, but because of my spouse and some other friends such as many of you. God's good. I want to be in his perfect will, don't you? Well, make sure that you're in that general will of God. Make sure you're fully surrendered to him. And then make sure that you're taking that opportunity to pray and fast and and seek His will, and then wait for that calmness that comes when you are in God's will. All right? Let's all stand. We have a verse invitation. It's good about every 3 or 4 years to bring this lesson out and go over it again. And it comes up in messages from time to time. But I want to be in God's perfect will. Hymn 153, which goes very good with the lesson tonight, I Surrender All. Lord, spoke to your heart, you come after we pray. God, we thank you tonight for your love, and we ask that you would help us to discern your will for our life. And God, I pray tonight that each of us would seek to be within your general will in order that we might be found pleasing to you. We thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 153, as we sing.